a projection of Jesus. Beginning in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 2 and 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. I want to read that third verse one more time. Forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. We are to project the image of Jesus Christ as Christians, as sons and daughters of God. A projection is an image of the very likeness of what it projects. The projection looks identical to the object it projects. And that's exactly what a Christian should be, and it's what God demands, but He does give you a little time until you are made into the image of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. You don't get it overnight, but it's something that we should strive for, and that is to be a projection of Jesus in every facet of our life. In the great movie called The Ten Commandments, the only time the voice of God is ever spoken out of Hollywood, and God used it back in the 50s to speak to America through the movie Ten Commandments, produced by Cecil B. DeMille, who became converted during his study of the Bible and the production of that great film. And then two or three years after the film, he died suddenly. But he made a very strong profession for Christ, and his case and proof that he ordered seemed to be valid. He was a millionaire, multimillionaire. But it seems that his testimony and his profession of faith was good. And I remember one of the scenes in there, how that when Moses found out that he was a Hebrew and not the son of Pharaoh, and he went to Goshen to look up his real fleshly mother. Remember how he told Pharaoh, "I'm the son of Amram and Ishmael, slaves." He found that mother, and he said, "You look into my eyes." He denied that she was his mother to save him from the shame that would come upon him in Egypt because he was prince of Egypt. And through Pharaoh's daughter, his Egyptian mother, she persuaded his mother to say, "No, I'm not your mother," so Moses would not lose the throne. But Moses got on his knee before her old chair in that hovel of a house and says, "Look into my eyes and tell me that you're not my mother." She looked at him and says, "No, you're not my son. If you were my son, your hands would be gnarled from working in the slime pits. Your back would be striped with the Egyptian taskmaster's whip. And if you were my son, in your heart would burn the Spirit of the living God. If you were my son, you wouldn't worship an idol." "No." Moses said, "You look in my face and swear to me by that God that I'm not your son." And then she broke and says, "Oh, Moses." And in his heart was the Spirit of the living God that was burning him into becoming a deliverer instead of a prince of Egypt. When that Spirit of the living God has written in our heart the laws of God, there's no escaping that responsibility and the pressure it puts upon us to project the image of Him who wrote it with His finger upon our hearts, which is Jesus. And Paul said, "You are manifestly." That word manifest means to be apparent to the five senses, don't it, Brother Brown? to be obvious, to be clear, something proved, open to the five senses that you can discern it. You're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Now, God had used Paul to minister the word of God to make projections of Christ's image to the world and to the rest of the church out of these Christians. He said, but you're not written. That epistle that is written hasn't been written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Whenever we're saved, God writes His laws into our hearts and in our minds so we can keep them perfectly. In the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 8, finding fault with them, that is the first covenant, God said, behold, the days come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and write, or minds, and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, the Lord says, so He can fill us with His righteousness. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's a great scripture of what really happens to you and me whenever we are born again. Something really happens to us that's incredible. And that scripture here that Paul brings to our attention is the climax here of a great message here on being born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he concludes and says, He hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord puts His righteousness in our hearts because He writes His laws in our minds and in our hearts so we can live true to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else in this world can wash away our sins and make us fit, make our minds and our hearts fit for the Holy Ghost with a pen of the Holy Ghost written upon the fleshly tables of our heart by the Spirit of the living God, His laws in us, except the blood of Jesus that cleans us up and the Lord fills us or imputes to us His righteousness, because His laws are written in our hearts and we can keep them. And we become a projection of the image of Jesus Christ on the screens of the sensitive consciences of men and women about us. And that's one thing Paul brought out in that same chapter of 2 Corinthians 5. And it is a beautiful chapter here, as I said, on the new birth. But I like this statement here in verse 11 where he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. Manifest, open, apparent unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. It's in the conscience that people receive that projection of the image of righteousness and godliness and divine or godly morality that affects the world about us. We've got to register the righteousness of Christ on the sensitive consciences of their mind, that our projection of Christ may be manifest to the people we work around, live around, go to church with, and our relatives that we love and visit. We must be a projection of Jesus Christ, and it's on the sensitive consciences of those people about us that can discern the real, true, divine morality of the Bible, because we're living according to the commandments that have been written in our hearts and in our minds, and our projection is a projection of the real Jesus.